Hello to all my friends is at all of my issues. It's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo!
Are you number one? Ho ho!
Way to say it, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Hello, internet, and welcome to another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 12, we talk about potential apocalyptic scenarios. I know what you're thinking, but the idea for this episode actually came about prior to this week's election results. Well, anyway, we list our five worst apocalyptic scenarios from comics and movies. But before we get into that, let's talk about Geek Fuel. If you're anything like us, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. You enjoy geeky things, and one of the best ways to get your monthly geek on is to subscribe to Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel will send you a box monthly filled with comic book, gaming, sci-fi, and pop culture related material. Right now, if you go to our website, allofmyissues.com, and click the Geek Fuel link, you can save $3 off of your Geek Fuel subscription. Use those $3 to buy rations or invest in your fallout shelter. Alright, with that out of the way, let's get on with the podcast. Enjoy. Hello, internet. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
And we are going to talk about the apocalypse.
Dun, dun, dun.
right after the elections. This was an idea prior to the elections and the election results that we got, I guess, early this morning.
Yes.
I guess we didn't really realize how possibly relevant this topic might be, you know, depending on how you feel about the election results. So I guess essentially, just to summarize what we're going to talk about, is we each selected different apocalypse scenarios.
Yep.
From different films and comic books, and we're going to discuss them now. So
the ones we least want to live through.
Yep.
Yes.
Top five least apocalypse situations we want to live through.
Exactly. So do you want to go first, Sam, and then we'll just go?
All right, I'll start off first. My number five apocalypse scenario that don't want to live through, but hopefully I stay alive during it, is DC's 2013 comic series Blackest Night. That is about the Black Lanterns taking over the universe, and our DC heroes, which is mainly going to be, you know, the Green Lantern Corps, battling these Black Lanterns. These Black Lanterns can reanimate people, and usually those Black Lanterns was reanimating loved ones of our fellow superheroes and who have fallen, and their loved ones. And so the Green Lantern Corps and the rest of our DC universe had to face them. So yeah, I would not want to live in that kind of apocalypse, because not only is, you know, one of my dead ones, loved ones, coming back, but they also kind of have like some sort of powers where they can see emotion. So you basically have to be emotionless in order for them not to see you. And it gets a little tricky if you know, if the Black Lantern can handle Superman, who am I? So
So they're quite powerful as well.
They are quite powerful as well. And then if you've, and in comics, if you ever had died, if one of those Green Lantern rings get a hold of you, it usually seeks you out. So if you have died before, then it will seek you out. And once it attaches to you, you become part of the Black Lantern Corps. So we all know in comics, that sometimes superheroes and villains seem to die and come back to life. I think that's kind of the formula. So
it's like a regular occurrence.
Yeah. So everybody's acceptable. So.
Yeah, I can see that being hard because you'd have to be fighting your potential loved ones that have passed away. Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do that.
And if they're super-powered,
exactly,
dead loved ones, that's even worse.
Yes.
So I think that's a good selection.
So very good.
Yes. Chris, all you right. wanna?
My number five of the apocalypse is Idiocracy. The idea that stupid people are having so many more children than the smart people that eventually they just outnumber you to the point where you get a showman for a president in Terry Crews. I'm talking about Terry Crews, of course. It's just kind of a nightmarish thing. Mass starvation due to the attempted watering of crops with Gatorade knockoff Brondo.
But it has electrolytes.
That's what plants crave.
Electrolytes. My favorite part about that movie is when he first wakes up and they're like, put this one in your mouth, put this one in your butt. And then he takes him back. No, put this one in your mouth, you put this one in your butt.
But I'm not sure who it was said it first, but it's the first Hollywood comedy that's slowly becoming a documentary.
Yes.
Yeah, whoever first came up with that is,
genius. So
indeed.
That's my number five. We'll just leave it at that.
The one positive thing I would say, if you were to find yourself in that reality, I mean, there's quite a chance that you would be the most intelligent person on the planet. So, I guess there's that.
Yeah. Get a starring role in, what was it, Owl My Balls or whatever.
And Starbucks.
And so, yeah. That's right. Oh, that's a great movie. One of the movies that I selected, my number five, would be The Day After Tomorrow. It's stars Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's a climate-style type of apocalypse where the world is beginning to cool and is becoming like into another ice age, basically, because of climate change and all kinds of bad things like that. And people are being forced to migrate from the north down to like closer to the equator to like Central America, and not the best case scenario, but also probably not as bad as Blackest Night. you got dead loved ones coming back, but
you may have to worry about if there was a wall being built. So
that's true. That's true. That might keep the snow out of Mexico, though.
He knew it was going to happen.
He knew that's it.
It's like that Emperor theory where he's, building the Death Star because of the invading army from another galaxy coming. Igniting the galaxy before that.
That's an expanded
universe theory. So, hey.
I like that. We're pulling from expanded universe.
Yeah.
All right. My number four comes from a movie in 2013 called Snowpiercer. It stars Chris Evans. About a train that is constantly going around the Earth because basically the Earth is uninhabitable.
And that's Captain America, Chris
that
Evans,
is
right?
That's Captain America, Chris Evans. Yeah. So, He and on this train, like at the front of the train is, the well-established, the elite of the rich and famous are in the front. In the middle is the middle class, and in the back is the lower class. And so Chris Evans' character moves from the back and makes his way up to the front, and along the way encounters some very difficult situations. So me personally, I wouldn't want to be on the train constantly, especially with no windows, and it's very cramped. And but I do have to admit, that's got to be a really big train. I mean,
So not like the cramped trains that we may or may not be used to, like a subway or anything like that. So maybe a little more spacious. I want to
point out that I'm not totally against this if I'm towards the front of the train.
I mean, if you're front of the train, then
you're talking specifically a back of the train
scenario, then that's
really bad. But
imagine being like the maintenance person of that train when you have to deal with like all the restrooms and all the bathrooms and stuff. It's like, you're which section are you in? You're in the back section, so it's like the toilet's never working. There's not enough toilet paper. I don't know. I couldn't. That's too cramped a space for me to be on that train forever and ever and never stopping. That's a nightmare for me.
is there some relevance to the name Snowpiercer? Is it like
that's the name of the train?
That's the name of the train. Yep.
Because the ice world, the train actually is able to pierce through the snow.
It's basically snow everywhere.
Is it actually on a track or is it literally on a track?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, the guy designed it. It's like a perpetual motion train.
So in that, because I have not seen the movie. So that the track was created before snow covered the planet?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And he's almost deified in the videos they show about this creator, because you could see the world coming.
Yes. he's our savior, and everyone basically thought he'd already passed away, but you know, we'll find out, you know, through the movie
who he is.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, it's not Chris Evans. Chris Evans did not go on a journey to find himself. No.
Hey, you look just like me. You're twins.
That's weird.
All right, my number four, I guess it's from two different movies, from the 50s and the 70s, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers World. Which is a... I guess more or less an analogy of the fears of the 50s, the pod people coming in the night and gradually taking over all of your loved ones, like they're communists was the idea of the Red Scare.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, replacing the... I saw this movie as a young child. I watched old 50s horror movies all the time. And the idea that you could wake up one day and... Your parents look like them, but they're alien creatures. All bent on that, and that the goal being to take away your personality and make you part of a collective. Terrifying to me.
Yeah, that
really touched on when they created the kind of like the Borg, in Star Trek.
Those movies, the body invasion of the body snatcher movies, probably more so particularly the Donald Sutherland one. Yes, you knew exactly where it was going. When I was watching that as a kid, I was like, oh my God, what is happening? Yeah. It was really, that movie.
I guess probably me pointing at you and opening my mouth and doing that noise doesn't really portray itself well on a podcast. But
yeah, but you know, if you were in the room here with us,
you would have thought it was hilarious.
Yes. But yeah, just seeing that image, I mean, it's a pretty famous image.
Sure. Yeah.
From that movie, but I remember that just being ingrained in my brain, like just freaking me out.
Oh, you know what? That's three movies, because Nicole Kidman had one too.
That's right. The invasion. That was that's a really, really good pick, I think.
Got a threefer.
Yeah.
and I think it's like creepy that you really can't sleep because you would think you're safe, but all of a sudden. You wouldn't even realize that you lost yourself because they take over during the night.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So,
in the first two movies, I believe
they didn't really have happy endings, I don't think.
No. I don't think. But man, it's been a long time. Well, the second one didn't, obviously, because she sees Donald. That's the ending, really. That's so she sees Donald Sutherland and thinks, and then he turns sounds the alarm or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But in the newer one,
the original one, I think
Nicole Kidman, there is kind of like a... They find a way to
stop it.
Yeah, no, there's no happy ending. It's I think them escaping into the night, and it's the inevitables. You know, this happening where everyone's being taken over. If I remember correctly.
Yeah,
because isn't the 1951? Isn't he like trying to tell people they're coming and yelling at them at the army base or something like that? But no one believes him or something. Or that's a different movie.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah. But I mean, that could very well be.
Keep in mind, it's been 30 years since I've seen this movie.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's stuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. The imagery. Yeah. All right, my number two pick is The Day After. All my movies are going to have the word day in them. No, that's not true. but
a lot of them will reference at least some part of the day.
Of the day, that's right. I was trying to go with a theme. But this one, if you've seen this movie, it's from 1983. It was pretty popular, I think, when we were kids. And it deals with a nuclear apocalypse, essentially, where there's a nuclear war has occurred, and it kind of shows you the aftermath and what happens to the casualties of a nuclear war. And as a child, I remember this being quite graphic. But Chris has seen this relatively recently.
It's not that it's not graphic. It's just the effects are bad.
So it's kind of like you can tell.
It hasn't aged well. It suffers from being a 83? Is that
83,
what
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's about what I remembered. 83, yeah. It suffers from being a 1983 made-for-TV movie.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, this...
Was it originally a made-for-TV movie? I think it was.
It's like a two-parter or something. Like, the fallout looks bad. It's like, it doesn't stand the test of time, but I can attest to the fact that it was absolutely terrifying. I remember being a third grader, everybody talking about it.
Yeah, yep. I remember it having a big impact in my brain as well. Just like all the kids, everybody, just like, oh my gosh, that's what would happen if we had a nuclear war. You know,
when you look at the era of movies that time. They played on that fear so much. The War Games and Wolverines, Red Dawn.
Oh, Red Dawn, yep. Which would have been a good selection as well.
Now that you mention it, yes.
But so that's my third selection, okay. Or my second selection. I'm sorry.
All right, number three. It's a film, 2007, called I Am Legend, with Will Smith. And when I watched this movie, it freaked me out. Because, you know, there's vampire movies, and then there's zombie movies. But these things were something totally different. And I just like the way that... how the film was going on, where Will Smith's character would have to basically cover his like tracks and his scent, because these things only came out at night, but they can basically track you. And you know, as the movie goes on, he forgets. Well, he doesn't actually forget. Something happens to him where he doesn't do his normal ritual of covering his tracks, and these creatures like seek him out and track him from all the way from the other side of the city to track to where he lives. And basically the story started out as, you know, a virus that was taking over like the whole planet, and he was a doctor to try to cure this virus, and that didn't happen. So he's stuck in New York all by himself, him and his dog, and the place is empty and gone, and it's just him all alone. And you know, that would not be a good apocalypse for me, because you know, you have to do that ritual time and time again. You can't even show a glimpse of light at night because these things will find you and keep attacking. So
The book that's based off of, mm-hmm. I absolutely love the book.
Yeah, I absolutely love the book.
And it's
very
bit,
different.
It is very different.
Okay.
We're going to try to, I don't know. I think we need to talk about this for a second. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Spoilers from this book from like 1960 something.
Yeah. So if you haven't read it by now.
Yeah, sorry that you haven't read it. You've had 50 years.
Get on Amazon and iTunes.
That's right. Book by Richard Matheson, mm-hmm. Famous for that. He also Stir of Echoes.
Yeah,
What Dreams May Come. Did some other Twilight Zone episodes, things like that.
Yeah, some great television shows.
The vampires are different. It's still a last man standing type thing in a world, have to be back by nighttime.
Yeah,
whatever. But the whole idea of the title, I Am Legend.
It's kind of lost in the film,
and that's the only thing that it terrified me.
The
vampires, if you want to call them that, they're more traditional vampires, I think, in the book.
Yeah,
were kind of more hivey with the movie, and that movie was probably a little bit scarier in that way.
Okay,
because they retain their personalities, and they would come to his house and taunt him at night. There's neighbors and stuff knew where he lived.
Yeah, they knew exactly where he was.
But they were susceptible to all the traditional
vampire stuff.
But he scientifically went about trying to experiment on them and figure out why. And he would go out during the days and kill them and everything.
So he wasn't a scientist.
Okay.
To begin with, at least in the book.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that's also kind of interesting. At least for me, I thought that he was doing research.
Sure, if I remember correctly, the reason the stake works is it causes the oxygen to go into the thing, and their innards don't react well to the oxygen, it causes them to dissolve or something. I don't know. But the whole thing is, at the end of this story, again, spoiler alert, they capture him. They take him to an arena to execute him. They're rebuilding society around him, and he realizes that he is the monster to this new society.
Yeah.
He is the story they tell their kids at night, the scary story to watch out for the monster. He's that guy, and he is legend. So that kind of gets lost in the remake.
Yep.
But it is I wouldn't want to live in either of those.
It's bad. Yeah, neither one of them is good.
I don't like the idea of massive hordes of creatures. So
he's legend.
He is legend.
Number three is 28 Days Later. Speaking, we'll segue from the hordes of things. I stayed away from the traditional zombie apocalypse and went with the 28 Days Later. I guess we'll call it zombie apocalypse, even though it's regular people infected with a rage virus. Because they're fast.
Yes.
Because they're full of nothing but just unbridled need to tear you apart. It's not like a hunger. I just want to kill everything around me type deal.
Yeah.
Like a crazy rabies or something like that. Yeah. Like an evolved rabies.
And the 28 weeks later, the opening shot of him running away from the house.
Yes.
Where he's left and the camera pans around and they're running and he's running to the boat is one of the most frightful images from a movie.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
Really, with the music, the building music. So I don't want to live in that world.
No, that would not be a good world to live in for sure. I guess my number three, I'm gonna go with, I guess initially you don't realize that this is really related to an alien attack, but 10 Cloverfield Lane. It has John Goodman in it.
Okay.
And essentially, the movie starts out with John Goodman has essentially captured two people and has them hauled up in his bomb shelter, and he's telling them that they can't go outside, and you know, he's telling them that they're safe in there. And I guess this is going to be some spoilers too. I guess I should probably mention that now. May have spoiled a little bit already by saying that it is in fact an alien invasion. but they finally turn on John Goodman because they think he's crazy and he's keeping him locked up in there.
In their defense,
he's crazy. Yeah, that's true.
I mean.
Yeah,
again, spoiler alert, but they realize they're not the first.
This is true.
They're not the first lady trapped in the...
Yeah.
So, I mean...
You find remnants of other people that were there. But when they finally escape, actually the one woman's the only one that actually gets out of the bunker. She gets out there and... She sees a light and she tries to signal the light, and she finds out it's a alien spacecraft, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then it tries to kill her. And it
sends down some sort of strange,
like weird
hunting dog alien creature, if I remember correctly.
Exactly. Yeah. So she kind of finds out, you know, that there really was an alien invasion.
So he wasn't crazy about that. He's just crazy about everything else.
Exactly.
He's not much of a people person. No.
He is not, exactly. That's one of the things I kind of like about that movie, I guess, as far as that goes. Because first you just think, oh, this movie's just about a crazy person capturing people.
Really brilliant the way it's done, too. It's very claustrophobic feeling.
Yes.
It's very... Yep. You're finding out what's going on with the main character. So she's an introduction to this new world, and for what's in essence three actors in the whole movie.
Exactly.
They do a really good job, and John Goodman is fantastic.
He is fantastic, and they're playing
he's a good actor.
I think in some regards he's kind of underrated, because
I agree he is a utility player, and he makes anything that he's in better.
That's absolutely true.
He may not make the best movies all the time, but it's never his fault.
There you go. I agree with that 100%.
Bold statement.
Bold statement, but I
like John Goodman.
There you go.
I might be controversial with post-election things. I'm feeling sassy.
So, yes, 10 Cloverfield Lane. And also, just I guess we'll mention that it's kind of a sequel to the Cloverfield movie, which was more of a found footage type of film.
Right.
So
now you got aliens and giant monsters coming out of the ocean.
Exactly. So
attacking people in Central Park.
Not good. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in that world.
No.
I didn't necessarily want to be in that theater.
Cloverfield. That's for sure. I was happy with the departure that they did from the first found footage.
Yeah.
Cinema Verite, I believe is what they refer to that as.
All right. My number two, worst apocalypse to live through. I'm going comic books here. Marvel's event, The Age of Apocalypse. It even has the apocalypse in its name.
Oh, man, you can't get more apocalyptic than that.
Exactly. So this was the storyline that dealt with mostly all of the X-Men books, whether it is X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, X-Factor, New Mutants, X-Force. So what happened was the Mutant Legion was tired of, you know, Magneto basically kind of putting a monkey wrench on his father, Professor Xavier's, dreams of mutants living in harmony with humans. And so he figured out a way to go back in time. And his mission was to kill Magneto because he felt if he kills Magneto, then there is no opposition to confront Professor Xavier from
See,
a couple
I told you Legion would make a terrible president.
There you go.
As we continue our discussion on Legion. So he goes back in time, but also, you know, a handful of X-Men go after him to try to stop him. So before he can kill Magneto, being the good friend that Professor Charles Xavier is, he jumps in front and Legion kills his own father. So, you know, if you're traveling back in time, I think one of the rules is don't destroy your own timeline.
Which is like almost immediately followed by just don't do time travel.
Exactly. if you're going to go back in time, stay away from anything that will basically make you non-existent. Or in Futurama's case, become your own grandpa. So...
Well, I guess a better question is, if Legion has the ability to go back in time, why doesn't he just find Magneto in Germany or Austria or wherever it was he was living and just helping his parents escape early on? Probably creates a whole different timeline in which Magneto's not that bad of a guy.
That's a good point.
That's a good point. But
and then
again,
you don't kill anybody.
That's true. But I that would make rational sense. You know, because we all have one conscience, but Legion has
multiple personalities.
So I think they did the whole, you know, vote what's the best way, and most of his personalities are probably psychopathic murderers. So they're like, we'll just kill Magneto so he never exists or never give him the chance.
Well, that's fine. Then kill him. I mean, again, this might be controversial, but then kill him as a baby when he can't fight back.
Yeah. The Hitler time travel scenario.
But then with his, but I think, I don't know, because you know that, that the Hitler time travel, would you kill baby Hitler? I mean, he hasn't really done it yet, so.
You heard it here first, Infanticide 2016.
But he's Magneto.
That's right.
So by Legion killing his father, that allows Apocalypse to actually attack about 10 years earlier than what he originally tried to attack, and the X-Men defeated him. So since there's no Charles Xavier, there's no X-Men.
Oh, okay.
So Apocalypse takes over the world, and it's up to different bands of mutants to confront him. Apocalypse and Magneto are the two sides. You got Mr. Sinister in the middle trying to take over what Apocalypse has already taken over. And so you have different, the X-Men in different situations. You have Wolverine losing a hand and he's with Jean Grey. You have Cyclops and Havoc. They are the adopted sons of Mr. Sinister. And all your favorite X-Men are at different parts of this age of Apocalypse craziness. And then you have the humans that are basically almost completely wiped out trying to decipher all this. So, since I'm not a mutant, I don't think I want to live in the age of Apocalypse. So,
I can see that, Ben.
I'd just like to point out that I have abnormal thumbs. I have a mutation.
Oh,
so
Chris might be
all right.
Yeah, he's good.
figuring out the ways to survive in these apocalypses is what I'm doing.
Adapting.
Adapting. You're the next generation.
All right. Where are we at? Number two?
Number two.
My number two is Planet of the Apes.
Oh,
and I'm going with the original series, not the Tim Burton remakes.
Oh, that's probably a good choice.
The Charlton Heston. Again, I hate to show out spoiler alert for things that are 50 years old, but or thereabouts.
Just in case.
Just in case. I'm going to talk about the ending of Planet of the Apes at some point in here, where you realize that everything is our world.
Yeah.
That he's crash landed on. It's just separated by time, where we've destroyed everything with a nuclear holocaust. The reason I don't want to live in this is I am a man, a human.
Yes, yeah.
And there's all kinds of religious laws governing the way apes treat apes, but not the way apes treat human beings. So, theoretically, I'd probably not have the ability to speak any longer for whatever mutation. So I would be herded like cattle, and whatever it is they do that for, I'm not exactly sure, other than the fact that we get into their crops sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever made that clear, actually. I know they captured humans.
Yeah, but for what? Yeah. Slavery? I mean,
I don't know. I think it was kind of slavery. Maybe slavery, maybe.
But there was women in loincloths, I mean.
I mean, you're going to find advantages in every apocalypse. The disadvantage being is you have to compete against the manly man Charlton Heston.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know.
I mean, who else can get your filthy paws off me, you damn dirty apes? Who else can say that with such a surety?
Exactly. And yeah, that's. I remember watching that film and seeing the ending the first time as a kid, and I for whatever reason I didn't know the ending until I actually watched it. I don't know how I missed it. And I was just like, oh, I love that. That's so cool because it's the same.
Yeah.
Because the whole time, the whole movie makes you think that he's on a different planet.
And then
you the big reveal at the end, the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And it was like,
all right, we're going to talk about one of my pet peeves in movies, too.
Oh, okay. Is it pertaining to this movie?
It will.
Okay, well.
There is no possible reason we should have thought it was some other planet, because those apes spoke English.
Oh, you know what? That is a valid point, and I have never thought of it that way. That's, yeah. Wow. That changes everything.
Young me didn't notice that. Older made wonders, and you see this a lot in movies where people encounter someone else and they happen to speak English, and you're like, why?
Yeah, you just kind of let that slide. But yeah, that's a very good point, though.
Well, maybe they got our radio waves, and they just, I don't know, maybe they wanted to speak, but that is a very good point.
Yeah.
And not even the king's English, either.
No, exactly. They flat out spoke American. Except Roddy McDowell.
Yeah, right.
For some reason,
he had his own unique way of speaking.
Yeah, he was the British ape.
Would you have to worry about bestiality though too?
Are we talking like ape on man type action? Is this what we're?
I'm just saying.
The apocalypse is taking a dark turn here. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Suddenly things have gotten much worse.
What do you mean worry about?
You woman. I mean, like King Kong took that lady onto the top of the Empire State Building. I mean,
he didn't take her on top of the
Just
go downhill. It was like, bow your head. I don't know.
Man, English speaking apes, I'm still a little bit blown away by that. blown away by that. I can't believe I've never thought of that way before, but that's all kinds of revelations we're having today. All right.
I'm taking back my choice.
Oh man. All right. My number two is the robot apocalypse, or like the war of the machines, if you will. The Terminator apocalypse. Originally, James Cameron created the 1984 Terminator film. Had Arnold in it, Linda Hamilton, Michael Biehn. I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
I believe so,
yeah.
Great actor.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love him.
Johnny Ringo.
That's right. Johnny Ringo.
It's
Yeah, Hicks. Oh, man. Well, let's not talk about what happened in Alien 3 to Hicks.
They made an Alien 3?
Yeah, yes, yeah. That movie was never made. Never made. That's fan fiction. But yeah, the Terminator one, you know, robots taking over the planet. I mean, hopefully, you know, this isn't a spoiler for the Terminator. I think, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you probably have seen this movie, I'm thinking. So, but yeah, robot apocalypse. Humans are hunted down by robots. That sounds really bad to me.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't want to, you know, humans are forced to, like, hide in the shadows and maybe only come out at night, or just the other way around. They only come out during the day, I think. Because the robots can see at night, I believe, right? Isn't that how... Either way, humans are hiding.
Right.
And it's just not good.
And now the robots look like people.
Yeah, now the robots look like people because they created the T-800 series, Terminator. Although they do look like incredibly muscular, bulky...
Austrians.
For some reason. Yeah, for some reason. So, you might be able to pick them out. Because
the best way to assimilate with the American refugees is to be a 6'2", 220-pound man with no fat on you who dogs like this.
Yeah. And I guess now to... when we're talking about this, too, makes you kind of wonder because... In general, you'd think probably most of the humans, you know, they're scavenging around and stuff like that. You'd think they'd mostly be malnourished. Yeah. They wouldn't be as buff as...
Not much time to lift.
Yeah, not much time to lift, you know. They can't get the reps in.
Right.
I think in the...
They skip leg day.
I think in the future, they were just the exoskeletons. But I think when they made it... the flesh onto the exoskeleton for it to blend in into the past, if I remember correctly, unless what Terminator Salvation kind of...
Well, no, they show an Arnold robot going into the camp in the...
I'm not sure if it's specifically Arnold, but it is a robot type, and I believe that one is still... If it's not Arnold, I believe it is still muscular.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've seen the first one, so...
Yeah. It's been a little while for me, too, but yeah. I mean, you know, if they went back into the
future
or back to the past, if you will.
back to the future.
Back to the future. A whole other apocalypse story.
21 gigawatts.
Yeah, so they went back to the 1980s. It came out in 1984, so, you know. It's a classic. Either way, we wouldn't want to live in a world where robots were hunting humans.
Exactly. I think that's why we made the three rules of robotics, right?
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure all that was taken from the Terminator movies. Exactly. All that was invented because of the Terminator movies.
Right. We make the three laws of robotics, and we create drones to kill
them. That was Isaac Asimov. That's right.
Rules are meant to be broken.
It's not the three laws. It's the three suggestions.
Guidelines, if you will.
Most cases.
Yeah.
It's flexible.
That's right.
A wiggle worm.
All right. We are at number one.
Number one.
Of the worst apocalypse that you want to live through. Or ever be experiencing. My number one event, I'm going old school. And when I say old school, I'm going the original apocalypse. Old Testament apocalypse.
Oh!
O-T.
O-T.
You cannot get you older school than that.
We're going with the Noah's Ark. The tale of Noah's Ark. And... it's just the fact that I am on a big ship with animals, all sorts of animals. Like
we've already discussed. What could happen there? Right? Yeah.
Bad things can happen here. And, you know.
Hopefully no apes.
No apes.
No apes on her.
And you're basically, it's like a long... car ride with your family. Now, you all remember going on this long vacation car ride with your family, and you're stuck in an a closed area, and you always probably have that brother or that sibling always picking with you, and then you're stuck with the smell of cows and horses, and you got snakes and crawling around and mice crawling around. And the only thing you look out the window, only thing you see is water and water. And you're asking your dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And if you're Noah, you're tired of hearing people, you know, ask you, hey, are we there yet? Are you there? And it's like, it's for me, I'm glad that I'll be on the Ark, but that would just be a long apocalypse.
It doesn't get any better from there. How many people are on the Ark? Noah and his family, right?
Noah and his family. And then, you know,
so then the flood's done.
Yeah.
What are you left with?
You're left with you and your family.
Yeah. And your family becomes your extended family after that. Things got to happen at that point.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes.
You can't even have, like, you and your wife on the Ark couldn't even have alone time because you got, like, a camel looking over onto your bed or something like that. It's like, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah, though, in a way, though, would that be Noah's fault, though? Because he built the Ark, right? So he could have built it on a little private,
I'm sure there's like a private section. Maybe he didn't have time, though. But, you know, especially if you're seasick.
I'm about to get into Old Testament after dark, so just be advised of this. Have you reread this portion of the Bible anytime recently? Because there are some weird things going in there where, like, he, like, is drunk and his daughters are trying to seduce him and all kinds of weird stuff in there.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, they don't talk about that part in the Sunday school. You go rereading this stuff as an adult and you're like, wait, is that what?
Yeah, what's happening? That's
I don't know how I feel about this.
And it's only 40 days, too. That's what it looks
like. Does it get that bad after 40 days?
I think if I remember correctly, he fights him off or something, but or yells him off. But yeah, like,
that's a little.
What's wrong with your daughters?
Yeah.
Well, because I think were they.
This is not part of the John Mayer song. I'm just saying.
If I remember correctly, because he had sons, and the sons had the wives. Because I don't know if he had daughters. Did he have daughters? I have to look. I gotta be reading.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Hopefully, I'm thinking of something else. Noah's daughters.
I think those is kids' daughters, and his kid is sons' wives.
Now, how about the Russell Crowe?
Oh,
is that? I haven't seen that movie, so I don't know how.
I just stay away.
not worth seeing it.
If you're not confused by now, you will be even more confused. It's like,
by that movie, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Genesis 19:33. That night they got their father to drink wine. So it wasn't this that he was drunk.
They got him to drink wine.
They drank him up. They, roofied him. That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and slept with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up.
What?
Like they start. We'll just leave it at that.
Do your own research, kids.
Yes. Make up your own mind.
Yeah.
About what level of creepy it is. Not as creepy as when we talked about Planet of the Apes, though.
No.
That's took a terrible turn. All right, Arif. Are we to my number one?
I think we are.
I'm going with the, for my number one choice of apocalypse I don't want to live in, the Lovecraftian apocalypse as illustrated in The Mouth of Madness. Not, the majority of the movie is not the apocalypse there. The majority of the movie is Sam Neill's character investigating the disappearance of an author named Sutter Kane, who's kind of a cross between Stephen King and H.P. Lovecraft. They actually mentioned Stephen King, him outselling Stephen King, that more people...
Yeah, I do specifically remember that.
More people are reading his books than the Bible. mostly because of creepy stuff going on with Noah. They don't want it to know. but that so it's becoming almost a religion unto itself. The author goes missing, and Sam Neill is tasked with finding him, and he pieces together the covers of the books to find that it's a map of the New England state, whichever state it was. I don't remember if it was Maine or whatever, and that there's a point on the map that coincides with a what everyone thought was a fictional town. So he makes the trip there, and then weird things start happening, and it becomes kind of end of the world type scenarios. He meets the author finally, and the author opens up a portal wherein you can see to the other side of this other dimension that he's created. You've come to realize that if enough people read and believe something, it becomes reality.
Oh. That's right. I remember that.
And
now,
his
yeah.
version
yeah.
of the end is interdimensional, terrifying creatures coming forth. And so the beginning of the movie, you see Sam Neill's in an asylum and has got like crayon drawings of crosses and things all over the padded cell. And the end of the movie, he comes out of his and you realize that almost everyone is gone. He walks in to the movie theater that's playing the movie In the Mouth of Madness, which is the last book that author wrote, and anyone who was reading it was going crazy. He sits down and realizes that the movie, that he is actually a character in the movie and in the book. So you don't even know if he's real at this point. He doesn't know if he's real, and he just starts laughing, and I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would want to be, really, because you don't know what's happening, you don't know what's reality, you don't know...
It's almost like the world of the mist.
Yeah.
Which is another Lovecraftian ending, and man, the ending of that movie. Yeah. I got a little twofer in there. I'll just stop there. But
there you go. All right. Well, I guess that'll bring me to my my number one apocalypse. I guess this is kind of you may fall under the nuclear category as well. But it's Mad Max.
Ah.
Mad Max. I specifically was thinking of Mad Max Fury Road, but really any of the Mad Max movies probably fall under this category where, gas is scarce, water is hard to find, people are spray painting chrome on their face. No, that's just not normal. It's not normal behavior. People are having crazy... battles on the roads, using souped up automobiles with all kinds of spikes and everything else on it. It's just not a good situation all the way around,
Giant cage fights with Tina Turner.
Exactly.
Guitar that throws flames out of it.
Exactly. That's, yeah. I mean, that part's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet.
Again, there's always a silver lining. Yeah,
that's right. But, I'm thinking specifically, the having trouble finding water. I mean, that sucks. I like to bathe regularly.
Yeah.
And that's... I think in that we'll apocalypse,
just
that's
just
not
disagree.
Happening. I think I need some lotion.
some lotion or something, is the... cover up some odors, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some,
like my lips are dry.
Like patchouli oil or something, at least. Sprinkle on, yeah. But no, that one's, and then, people just seem to be fighting, resources in general seem to be scarce.
Yes.
So, people fighting over cars, weapons, guns, food, I imagine,
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can find a weird little oasis with, ruled by kids, I think that was in the Beyond the Thunderdome portion of Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. So, but no, I'm specifically talking more about Mad Max Fury Road and maybe Road Warrior and the first Mad Max. So, but yeah, not a good situation to be in. You don't want to have to fight for food.
No,
don't want to have to fight for water. Definitely don't want to have to fight for gasoline.
Don't want to fight Master Blaster.
No, don't want to fight Master Blaster.
On a side note there, do you know that I've never seen the original Mad Max with Mel Gibson except for the one that dubbed in the American voices over top of the Australian accents?
You know what? I don't know if I ever have either, actually.
I hear that it exists, but I've never seen it.
I could never
figure out why when I watched it as a kid. It was always clearly dubbed. I mean,
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
But their lips moved the same. You know, like sometimes you get foreign movies that they would dub, but
I don't know. That's a good point. If anybody out there knows, contact us and let us know.
I probably could find it in like 2 seconds of searching on YouTube.
That's true. That's probably true.
I haven't really thought about this fact until now.
I guess that's all of our apocalypses.
I think it's just apocalypses.
Apocalypses, okay. The plural form of apocalypses.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
Do we want to have any bonus the one that we would like to live in?
Oh yeah, yeah, we could. I don't know if I really have one that I'd want to live in, but please share.
All right, the one that I would want to live in would be in the 2000 film Titan AE, when you know this alien race made of pure energy comes to Earth and basically blows up the Earth, and so us humans are scattered all around the galaxy. But before that happened, there was this ship called Titan AE that had all of Earth's resources and was supposed to rebuild a planet for our home. And so, you know, spoiler alert, they find the ship and they defeat the aliens and we have the new Earth, aka Bob. That's what the new Earth is called. And so, you know, you're starting fresh all over. So you can basically get to Earth, this new to planet Bob, and everything's all good. You got fruit, you got vegetables, you don't have pollution, and you can be the king of Bob.
I want to be the king of Bob.
So all the Earth people, you know, Earthlings are starting to flock to planet Bob, and you are the first one there and say, hey, you know what? Follow me. I'm the king of planet Bob.
Follow me, Boblings. Future Boblings.
Future Boblings.
That's right.
All right, well, the apocalypse that I want to live in, I guess it's apocalypse. I don't know what else you call it. WALL-E. I would love to fly around interstellar space, sitting around on my cosmic wheelchair, just watching a screen all day, because I already do that. My day is off. Minus the starship.
The floating chairs or what happened. That doesn't really look that bad.
No.
Talk
to Fred Willard.
Yeah.
That's all I could ask for, really.
You could change your outfits with just a touch of a button, I think, too. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
All your needs met.
Yeah.
Fred Willard.
Fred Willard right there.
If I ever run for president, that's a Fred Willard in every home will be mine.
I think with us talking about this, I think I kind of maybe do have one that I don't know if I would necessarily. I mean, I guess if I have to live through an apocalypse scenario, this would probably be the one I'd want to be a part of. It's kind of the movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey, where Earth is basically all right. Where the Earth is basically, you know, turned into a giant dust ball.
Yeah.
But they basically create a ship that allows them to travel to another planet to recolonize another planet. And that's like that whole starting over thing that you were kind of talking about, Sam. That, if I have to go through an apocalypse scenario, I want to be able to, you know, reboot.
Right.
What mistakes were made and start anew.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Interstellar, I guess. Yeah, I would go with that. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. See you guys next time. Remember to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr,
Instagram.
On iTunes.
On the YouTubes.
That's right. Yeah. Google Play.
And the Google Play.
Think of us when you use your abacus as well.
All right.
Bye, Geek Fuel.
Bye, Geek Fuel.